Good morning, good morning, good morning. Today's a beautiful day, isn't it? Even though it's cloudy outside, you're still alive, you're breathing, and you have a wonderful God to serve, don't you? So today's a beautiful day, isn't it? Come on, let me hear a shout. Come on, guys, it's a beautiful day. It's a great day, and God is so good. He's wonderful. He's powerful. Come on, just give him another shout. Come on, let's stir up the atmosphere on Pentecost Sunday. Let's go, guys. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands with us. This song is just declaring his goodness. Hallelujah.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Sing, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on and sing now one more time. Say,
Lord, you are good. Hey, and your mercy endureth forever.
Sing, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, guys. People from every nation. From generation,
hey, to generation,
we worship you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Sing, we worship you.
We worship you.
For who you are.
Who you are.
Hey, hey,
we worship you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sing, we worship
you.
For who you
are.
Sing it with us.
You are good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Come on, God, sing.
So good, so good.
Yes.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Come on, go back to the top.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on and sing it out. Sing, Lord, you are.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth.
Sing, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Yeah, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy.
Thank you, Father.
Forever.
Come on, sing, people from every nation.
People from every nation.
And from generation.
From generation to generation.
Oh,
we are.
Yes, you are. Don't we serve a good God? Come on, we serve a mighty God, right? How many of us know that our God is good? How many of us know that our God is faithful? All right, so let me hear you sing this part. We're just going to sing, you are good.
You are good all the time. And all the time.
Sing, you are
good.
Hey,
you are good.
From the top.
You are good.
Come on, sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Sing, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good,
hey,
and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on and sing it out, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good and your
hey.
Mercy endureth forever.
Yeah, Lord, you are so good. Take it to the bridge. Sing, people from every nation,
people from every nation,
and from generation.
Generation,
sing it out, we worship.
We worship you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
it's Pentecost Sunday. Not that that's abnormal for us. We believe in Pentecost, amen? We see miracles and healing every single week. We see people saved, set free by the power of God. But this morning, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, would like to speak with other tongues, we want to pray with you. So if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we'd like you to come right down here. Come right out of your chair while we sing that song one more time. We want to lay hands on you. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. You'll be speaking in other tongues. You'll have the power of God surging through you. It is going to be an amazing Pentecost Sunday. If you're online right now, you need to get ready. God's going to come right where you are right now and touch you and change you. You're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost right where you are. So are you ready to sing? I said, are you ready to sing? When you're ready for the baptism, come right down that aisle.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, sing it with me.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on and sing that one more time. Say,
Lord, you are good
and your mercy endureth
forever.
Because you're a good God, you're a mighty
Lord,
God.
You are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Sing, people from every nation,
people from every nation,
from generation,
from generation to generation, we worship. Good all the time and all the time. You are good. You are good all the time and all the time. You are good.
Sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, sing that out with every hand lifted. Sing, Lord, you are.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, people, we can sing. Sing, Lord, you are.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
People from every nation.
People from every nation and tongue. From generation to generation, we worship you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah.
Sing,
we
worship. He's a matchless God, but most of all, he is good. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. How many people in here know that Jesus is a good God? We lift your name up, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God.
And your name is higher, is higher. Your name is high above all.
is higher. Your name is high above all.
Your
love is greater, it's greater. Your name has conquered it all. Your name is higher, it's higher. Your greater. Your name has conquered it all.
And your name is higher, it's higher. Your name is high above all. And your love is greater, it's greater.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Yes. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come to him and have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Jesus beautiful, is in the name, is in the name of Jesus beautiful. Son of God and one of us, the lover of our souls, is in the name of Jesus.
Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Yes, God. Chains are broken when it's spoken, and every knee must bow. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful?
Eternal King, you
there's healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Jesus, there is.
There's healing in the name. There is power in the name.
Salvation.
Salvation in the name. There is life in the name.
Jesus, all we need.
Oh, it's all we need, yes.
Is in the name of Jesus, all we need.
Oh, you're all we need, yeah.
Is in the name of Jesus, all we need.
Oh, sing it out the name.
Is in the name of Jesus, all we need.
Finger down, starting with the knuckle all the way up. There's pain. God's healing that right now. There's another individual on your left side, halfway down on the muscle, not in the dead center, but just off to the left. You have pain in that portion. In Jesus' name, I release healing right now by the power of the Lord. There's also another individual. Every time you're breathing, it's almost like you got a cough, breath cough. And Lord, right now we curse right now the growth. We command right now healing to come to that lung in Jesus' name. And Father, there'll be no more problems. There'll be no more. Lord, the evidence will be the disappearance of the evidence. And God, we give you the honor and the praises. A person watching online right now, you have a compressed neck. God is right now inflating right now in Jesus' name. I command the discs to be made whole by the power of the name of Jesus. All pressure to come off. Lord, a miracle right now in Jesus' name. It's another individual also. You have a problem with your right quad. Goes down and you can feel it on the inside of the knee. God is healing you right now. If you start moving that limb, you'll find the pain to be completely gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you. There's another individual, you've lost a loved one, and you've consistently asked God, are they in heaven, are they in heaven, are they in heaven? And you know who I'm talking about. I don't know, but you know. And the Lord wants you to know they're with me. And God, I just thank you that you've now deposited peace in their heart in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that today your name is all that we need. Your name is above every single name. God, today we thank you that your name is available to us. As your sons and daughters, we don't walk in weakness. We walk in authority and in power. And God, today, in the name of Jesus, all sickness has to flee. I command sickness and all the names of sickness to bow right now to the very throne of Christ. I declare healing and miracles in this room in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for those that were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, Father, for those who need a refreshing in the Spirit, Lord, fill us fresh and new in Jesus' name. Father, the language of heaven will come out of us. Lord, our true language, the true language of our home country, Lord, will come through in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives. And your name is all we need. I thank you, God, this is not about religion, but about truly knowing you, walking with you, and walking for you. And today we give you the honor that's due your name. And everybody said, amen. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? I said, isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? How many of you were saved in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. How many have been healed in the name of Jesus? How many have been baptized in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus? How many have been delivered from addiction in the name of Jesus? The name of Jesus is all you need. Brings peace where there is no peace. Amen. You know, I believe in the help the world can give, but the world cannot help you in eternal value. They can only give you mind solutions, but Jesus gives peace where it makes no sense. The name of Jesus will make you free. Amen. In fact, I just sense it in my spirit. There are people here that are struggling with peace, things that everybody else doesn't even know. But inside, if you put your hand on your chest right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release the peace of God that passes all understanding in Jesus' name. God, I pray that the peace of God will come on us just even like, Lord, even like a coat would be placed over our shoulders. Let that anointing break us free in Jesus' name. That God, we will not have to deal with any of this, but God, we can rest in peace. Lord, no matter what situation is in front of us, Lord, we'll not come out of peace for the glory of God in Jesus' name. And everybody receiving it said, amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you meet five people you don't know and say, I thank God for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Come on, go find somebody. Don't go sit down. Go find somebody you don't know. We're a friendly church. Don't be a snob in the house.
Have to deal with any of this, but God, we can rest in peace. Lord, no matter what situation is in front.
Make sure you find somebody you don't know. Come on. If you don't want to stand up, at least turn around. Good morning. You look just marvelous today. Come on, did you say hi to somebody? Everybody turn around real quick. Turn around real quick and say, well, good morning. You look just marvelous. Mercy triumph when the third day dawned. Isn't it good to be part of a church that's friendly?
Good morning, HD. How's the family this morning? We just want to welcome all of you today on this beautiful rainy day. Do we have any guests here today? Did anybody bring anybody new? Is this your first time in the house today? We just want to see you raise your hands. We have a gift for you. We're so excited that you're here with us today. If we could get some of the ushers to pass out some of the guest packets. I know we have some new in the back here. We're so happy that you're here. We welcome all those watching on live stream. We're excited to have the family in the house today. We have a couple announcements for you. As you know, we have our Next Steps program. We encourage all of you to get into Next Steps. If you haven't yet gotten into Next Steps, I encourage you to. It's amazing. Level one is Rock Solid Faith, and that class is seriously phenomenal. You will continually learn something out of that class. That's on Tuesday nights at 6 with Pastor, Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. with Pastor Dan, and Pastor Pelko on Thursday nights at 6 o'clock. I encourage you, if you have not yet ever done Rock Solid Faith, you need to get into that class. It will change your life. And then we have something for those of you who have already completed Rock Solid Faith. Step two, we have a new class starting this Tuesday night. It's Spiritual Warfare. Pastor Obi will be teaching that class. I encourage you, if you've already been in the Next Steps classes, to get into that class. But you have to have already completed step one first before you can go to this class. And don't worry, you won't miss out. These classes will be continual. So if you feel like you're going to miss them, you won't. You'll have your chance. Let's see. We have an Uproar fundraiser coming up. We did it last year. It was so much fun. If you don't know what Uproar is, it's our youth conference that we do every single year. This will be our sixth year doing it. We're so excited. It's at the arena this year, and we're expecting God to do amazing things. So if you would like to partner with us and come help out and sponsor for this Uproar cleanup, it'll be at Eldridge Park. We had a great time. We raised a ton of money. It was awesome. If you want more details about that, you can talk to Pastor Cody afterwards. We also have Father's Day coming up. How many of you are excited for Father's Day? We have June 18th. We have our Father's Day celebration here. But also, we want to invite you out to the Pioneers game. It's going to be fun. We have free tickets for you. So if you want to pick them up, they're out at the Hub. We encourage you to. Yeah, it's actually his Tabernacle Night. It's themed. Pastor will have a short word. It's a lot of fun. Fun time for the family. And we have Pastor Spencer with offering.
Praise the Lord. Some of you are wondering where my wife is. My wife went down to visit my daughter in Florida. We have a tough time with our daughter living away. We love that she's being blessed. She's growing in the Lord, but we miss her. How many of you have been around Corinne? Isn't she crazy? She's just crazy. She is so much fun, she'll make you pee your britches. I mean, she is just a rip. She is always fun to be around. She's laughing. So my wife took Sophia. Sophia went down with her, jumped on an airplane. She had her little bag with her, little Sophia, little bag. And some of you saw on Facebook when she came off the airplane and she saw TT, and she ran to TT. It was just beautiful, just beautiful. I didn't go, as you can tell. My wife is coming back this afternoon, so pray for a good flight. And today we're so excited because we have the opportunity as the children of God. You know, sometimes we call this the offering time, and it's like we're offering God something. And actually, that's not what this is about at all. This is not about an offering. We're not offering him anything. We're returning. We actually should rename this the returning instead of the offering. The Bible talks very clearly about the principles of God's word. How many of you believe that you are saved because the word says you're born again? Not everybody, so we'll have an altar call right now if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How many of you believe that the word declares if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved? How many of you have ever confessed, Jesus Christ, come into my life, change my life, make me new? How many of you knew it happened? Not everybody there, so we'll start on over. Honestly, we know the word of God says to be saved. You're not saved by works. You're not saved by being a good person. You're not saved by being a genuine individual. You are saved only by faith, grace through faith, that you and I confess Jesus as our Savior. We're not saved by anything else. Now, we all believe the word of God is true when it comes to salvation. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But I want to challenge you to start believing the word. It's the same Bible. How many of you know the Bible is the same? The same Bible that says you must be saved is the same Bible that says that God's tithe is his. You see, that's why it's called a return. You can't give something to somebody who already owns it. You can only give it back. And today, I don't want you just to come say, well, I'm doing my best for the Lord. I want you to give back to God what's his. You know, every single week, my wife and I don't just talk this. We do this. And we strive, and one day we will be the largest givers in this church. We're working towards it, believing God for it. Why do we want to be the largest givers? Why do we want to be the people that have the largest return? Because I want to be able to say that my God, no matter what I give, my God cannot be outgiven. Amen? And if I can trust him with my soul, I can trust him with dollar bills. If I can trust God with my salvation, I can trust God with my budget. You see, the Lord wants you blessed and not cursed. Turn to somebody and say, God wants you blessed and not cursed. Tell somebody else, God wants you prosperous and not poor. Poverty is never from God. And today I want you to see this because you need to. Some of you are struggling in your finances, and God wants you to know that's not his design. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to have more than enough. Why? Because that way, when above your tithes and your offering, when there's a time for a seed, that you'll have more than enough to give away, and it won't hurt you. Amen? It's one thing to give a sacrificial seed. Has anybody ever done that before? But what I love is not just to give sacrificially. I want to be able to give, I want to be able to write a $100,000 check someday to the Lord and not have it even stub my toe. I'm believing God for that. Amen. How many of you believe in the Lord for that? Because the whole purpose for prosperity is not for you and I just to gain. God wants you to enjoy, for he loves and takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. But he wants you and I to be able to have ability to redistribute his wealth. See, that's the exciting part. Everything we have is the Lord's. I said everything we have is the Lord's. And so therefore, when we give, when we return, then it's still his. And we have the opportunity to be redistributor. I'm from New England. I want to say distributor. Distributor. Redistributor of God's wealth. So today, I want to challenge you. If you've never tithed before, a young lady came up to me last week and said, this was my first week tithing. I'm so excited, and I know God's going to bless her because he has no choice. He said, in this one, he said, try me. Try me in this one, and I'll prove myself. So I challenge you today, if you've never tithed before, I'm believing to see the increase of tithers from 13% to 26% in this house. I'm believing that another 13% of you are going to say, if my God can save me, my God can increase me. Amen? If I'll obey God in salvation, I'll obey God in my tithes and offerings. So today, I challenge you to be a tither. Amen? If you've never tithed before, this is your day. If you have nothing, this is what I want you to know. You've eaten your seed. So what you need to do is have a seed. And that is, maybe pull the fuzz out of your belly button or pull the nickel out of your pocket and give something. Give something. Why is that? Because now you're not giving for your now, you're giving for your future. Amen? Every time we give, every time you sow, there always is a harvest for. Amen. If you're a guest in the house, this is what we want you to do. This is what we usually do. We bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. We don't shake you down in your seats. So if you want to fill out there, we have envelopes for you. You can fill them out. Also, we have text to give. I don't know if they can show that real quickly. But this is something that's catching on very large in this house where many, many people are now starting to text to give. I guess they're not getting it up right now. They will a little bit. There you go. Text to give. Makes it very easy. You can follow. You can look at what you give, and you can keep track of your own. So today, are you ready to give? I said, are you ready to give? Well, no, let's return. Let's change that. Are you ready to return? I said, are you ready to return? I'm not sure you're hearing me. I said, are you ready to return? Amen. Let's make our supernatural proclamation. If I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket.
The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithe and your offering to the Lord. Let's return to the King. Hallelujah. If you're watching by live stream, this is your moment. What's amazing, and I do want to speak to you very clearly, is right now on live stream, we have between 200 and 300 people a week that are watching. And I want to challenge you. We only have, I think, 5 givers on our live stream. And I want you to step into faith. You need to step into faith and step into obedience and start being a tither. If you're watching this online, this is your home church. You need to be a tither, whether you're sitting in your living room or sitting in the sanctuary. So make sure that you are getting on right now and go tithe. That is 10% and your offering to the Lord, because it's your time to excel. It's your time to go to the next level. It's your turn to step into God's blessing. So stop being just someone who just takes and be somebody who gives.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
And sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, last time,
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
People from every nation,
from
generation
to generation, we worship you.
Hallelujah. What a great day, isn't it? I do want to give a shout out to Brett. He is competing. Did you compete just yesterday, Brett, or today? Today, too? He's competing in a lumberjack down in Erin. So if you get a chance, swing on over there. He's a great guy. I don't know. I couldn't do that. I got tired yesterday pulling the starter on my brush hog. It was a horrible situation. So I went and rode 15 miles. I don't think it helped. Today is a great day. How many of you know what we believe? His tabernacle does 3 things. We love God, we save souls, and we develop people. Say that out loud. I love God, save souls, and develop people. That is what we do. And in that, our core values are our children, our youth, and reaching people as we develop them. And today, I want to let you know, I'm so excited. As a father, as a dad, we've been accused of nepotism for having our children on staff. Nepotism means you hire somebody that's incompetent and they can't accomplish the task. But I'm excited today. I did not do nepotism at all. My children both, I have 2 sons on staff, and both of them know this one principle. If they don't produce, then they have to find a new job. And in that, I'm excited that our youth pastor is Cody Spencer. In today's church world, if you have a youth ministry of 7% of your church's size, you have a booming youth ministry. And I thank the Lord they have between 80 and 120 teenagers every single week that are growing and developing, and that is over 10% of our church on a Sunday morning. And that right there is powerful. But why? Because they're going into the schools and bringing a change in life. 6 years ago, when Cody came to me and said, I want to do a youth convention, Dad, for free. I said, well, and he described it, who he wanted to speak. I said, son, that's about a $25,000 adventure. He said, but I've got faith to believe. And now it's been going into the sixth year, and every year God has provided and God has enabled to where last year over 900 teenagers were in this room. And they were worshiping God, and God was changing their life. There's nothing better than snatching them before the devil does. Amen. I said snatching them before the devil does. Amen. So why don't you welcome me, Pastor Cody Spencer.
Well, good morning. It's always awkward when he's here and you got to preach. He's been killing his messages lately, just straight bombs. And now you got to follow it up. Good luck. No, but I'm excited to be here. And I just want to give you two quick things about conference before I get into our context today. Number one, we have our park cleanup, and my wife told you about it coming up on the 17th. And we're really excited about that. She said, well, I don't have money to give to conference. I can't do this. All we're asking for is a morning. And it's just like when you're a kid, you'd get sponsorships for like a bowl-a-thon or something like that. Same concept. There's packets out front that fully explain it. Or what you can do, it's about $55 to $60 for each teenager to come to conference, which really isn't a lot of money for a life to be changed. So what we've done is we actually have a different text to give number. It's not the same as the church. Don't give your tithe to conference. That's not what it is. We'll send it back to you somehow, and Miss Carla will yell at me. But if you want to partner with conference, you can give $5 a month, $10 a month, $20. You can give whatever you want to conference every single month simply by texting the number that'll pop up on this screen. You can give any amount every month, do monthly partnership, and that will go so far in letting teenagers' lives be changed forever. It's amazing. We've seen people called into the ministry. We've seen people set free. We've seen God do so many amazing things. We've had over 3,000 different teenagers come through conference and hear the word of God, have a life change. It's amazing to see what God has done, what God has used us for. Sitting back 6 years ago, I don't think any of us thought, man, we're going to be going to the arena. But here we are this year, and we're really excited about it. And if you want any of that extra information, right out in the foyer, we have a table with a little flag, and you can get that information right there. But this morning, I'm excited about the text. I love Jesus, I love the Word of God, and I want to make a deal with you before we get into anything. I'm not good when it's quiet, all right? I get freaked out. I start asking, like, am I making sense? Is it weird? Does anybody get what I'm saying? Is it boring? So if you can just help me out and make a deal with me, and that's everyone in the back all the way to the front, if you can make a deal with me to not be quiet this morning, if there's something you like, if there's something that impacts your life, let me know it by an amen. You can shout a Ric Flair, however you want to let it out. Go ahead and give it to me from the back all the way to the front, because honestly, church isn't just a spectator sport. This is here for all of us. And I believe what you can grab a hold of is what you're going to get. Now, I was reading this week, and it's actually really wild. I think we see a lot of fog in this area. And I was reading about it, and it's really crazy because the Bureau of Standards in Washington, which they sound like very smart people to me, says a dense fog covering 7 city blocks at a depth of 100 feet is literally only 1 glass of water. Isn't that wild? That a dense fog covering 7 city blocks at a depth of 100 feet is literally only 1 glass of water. Now, that 1 glass of water is divided up into like 60 billion particles of water, which is what creates the fog, which is what creates the illusion of not being able to see and not being able to move forward easily. Has anybody ever had to pull over because of fog? That was actually the one question I missed on my permit test. In the fog, do you have low beams or high beams? I put high beams. You have to do low if you have your test coming up. Not talking teenagers, but But isn't it wild that such a small amount of water can look so daunting, can look so terrifying, can make it so we're so paralyzed in our movement that we don't actually take steps forward confidently, but we walk slowly, we drive cautiously instead of going to the direction we normally go. See, this morning I want to talk to you, and Pastor hit the nail on the head in worship, about peace, about fear, about doubt. Because I see a lot of people struggling with these very things. And I love Psalm 23. Anybody else love Psalm 23? It's powerful. We've heard it before. Most of us know this text. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I want. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me to still waters. How powerful is it that we have a shepherd who leads, feeds, and protects us? But as we get a little bit farther into this text, we see a bit of a shift. It says, "And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me." See, this morning, I want to talk to you about that valley, because I believe a lot of people, they get to the valley, and instead of walking out where God has for them to go, they end up sitting and quitting. But can I tell you a great truth this morning? Your quitting point will now be the enemy's starting point every time. Where you quit this time, the devil will start next time. And that's how he wants to operate. Let's start. I want to break this down just line by line with you this morning. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know that was an actual valley. It was a literal place. It's not a figurative place. This is a literal place. And I was watching a video of a caravan driving alongside of it. And it looked like it was hundreds of feet down. There were rocks on both sides. It looked like it would be a treacherous place to walk through. It was between Jerusalem and Jericho. Now, Jericho in this time was known for having spices and all of these other things to trade for. So ultimately, it's saying, although I'm walking from one place to another, there's a destination that I have to get to. See, wherever God is leading you in your life, it's not an empty place. It's not a dead end. He's leading us to a destination every single time. This was the same place that the Good Samaritan in Luke 10 was robbed and beaten. This was a place where they moved goods from place to place. And sometimes I think that we get in this valley, we know the Lord is leading us, but we get into this valley and something happens. Yea, though I walk. Man, see, I don't want to just sit up here and seem like I'm not sympathetic. Some people are on it, you're in it, it's a valley, it's dark, it's not fun. There might be nothing that you can do to get out of it. See, with the teenagers, what I see oftentimes is they get really discouraged because it's often a parent or it's often a situation that's completely out of their hands. They have no control over. But we're still teaching them, trust in God. Even though your dad might be talking down to you and you can't escape this situation, keep walking with Jesus because there's a destination on the other side. But as adults, we got to realize it's the same story. Sometimes our boss is out to get us, trying to tear us down, trying to get us out of this position. But if we can walk it out, if we can continue to go through this valley, if we can continue to move forward and where God has us, we're not going to die, but we're going to come out on a destination with the other end. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, this is where I really want to park this for just a minute and talk about the valley of the shadow of death. Because when you really talk about it, you really look at it, we have to recognize what a shadow is. Now, I'm stealing this from Mackenzie. She was like 16 years old preaching for internship on a Thursday night. She said, and she's our worship leader now. She said, what's a shadow? It might cast something large, but if you go up and inspect it, oftentimes it's little. I was like, oh my gosh, she's 16. But seriously, oftentimes, what's casting a shadow is small and minute in our lives. They're big until we look at what's truly casting it. You remember being a little kid laying in your bed, and there might You're staring at the wall in a thunderstorm, and a flash comes off, and oh my goodness, there's a monster out on the tree, but it's really just some leaves. Or do you remember playing, and I can't do hand signals, I'm not good at them, and you'd put like a dog up on your wall playing with your friends at night. That's not it, but you know what I'm saying. Where if you inspect what's casting the shadow, oftentimes it's not even what it looks like. It's not reality. It's a false reality that's trying to look big, that's casting something larger than it can actually carry. Can I tell you this morning, what the devil is throwing at you is actually smaller than what it seems? It might be real, but in reality, it's weak. So I want to show you this, because really it's all about perspective. E-Man, if you're in here, can you come up here? And John, can you come up here too? E-Man, quick, come on. And John, can I have you come up here too? Run. Come on, E-Man. Come on, E-Man. See, when we're talking about perspective, I want to encourage you to flip the scale. John, can you go ahead and just stand on this real quick for me? Thank you, John. E-Man, I want you to now stand on this end and flip the scale. Good. This looks great. This is good. See, this is what I need to talk to you about this morning, because it's all about perspective. Will you look at your neighbor and say it's all about your perspective? Because this is what we do when we get into the valley. See, when the Lord is leading us to the green pastures, he's good. And when he's bringing us to still waters, man, he's good. But when we get in the valley of the shadow of death, for some reason, our perspective flips. See, what we think is, we gotta tip this scale. We gotta flip this scale. We're on this end trying to push it down. It'll get, move, come on. It won't. I'm just not heavy enough. I don't got what it takes. I don't have what I need to get this scale in my favor. But it's crazy, because it's about our perspective. You see, when we get in the valley and our fear and our doubt is bigger than our perspective on God's strength, it will always outweigh how we operate and what we have access to. See, what I believe is, most people, when we get into this valley and things start not looking right and things start getting difficult, we start to see the enemy as big and strong like John. And we start to view ourselves full of the Holy Ghost, full of strength, full of wisdom, full of knowledge. But for some reason, the devil seems stronger. For some reason, the devil seems to be outweighing in our current situation. But that doesn't make sense. He was just big and strong and good when he was leading to me to all these things. Now, how come when we get into a valley, it seems like the scale's been flipped? See, every time fear and doubt enter into our lives, every time this happens, we view the enemy stronger than we view ourselves and what God has placed inside of us. We view the enemy stronger than the God that has died for us, that has redeemed our souls, that has paid our price, that has come to make nothing missing, nothing broken, and nothing lost. It's all about your perspective. But see, what changes is when they flip sides. So go ahead and get down, E-Man. And go ahead and go to that side, John. It's just, it's simple. Go ahead, E-Man, get on there. Because see, really, this is how strong and how big the devil is, right? E-Man, I love you, but you're not very big. And what happens with our perspective is, when it's in line, we recognize in order to flip the scale, we just need to stand on it and what God has said. Look how easily that moved. Look how simply that moved. Don't drop them. Grandma's in here. She'll get real mad. See, we just need to simply flip our perspective. You're not defeated. You're not beat down. You're not destroyed. We've got to recognize this. The birthplace of atheism is our doubt. When you see John on this side as the devil outweighing, that's the birthplace of atheism.
That's the birthplace of it. I want nothing to do with a disbelief in God. And here's the crazy part. Fear only has victory when you bow to it. The only way the enemy can defeat us is through manipulation. He can't kill us. He can't destroy us. The only thing he can do is manipulate us to start waving our white flag. But I don't understand why I would wave a white flag on this side when I'm outweighing, when I'm defeating, when I have the victory already. I'm not waving a flag when my perspective is flipped. I'll only wave it when I'm manipulated that I don't have what it takes to live in what God has paid for. He can't make you, but he can manipulate you. And you cannot be manipulated when you truly know the word of God. That's why pastors out here get to rock solid faith. Get to step one. Get to step two so you can be empowered and equipped with the word of God. Open your Bible on your own every single morning. Go ahead and tear that apart because you can't be manipulated when you know what it really says about you, when you know what it says about your future, when you know what it says at the end of Psalm 23. Because we often stop in the middle at the valley and fail to recognize there's a destination on the other end. It might look big, but it's still soft. See, why did Jesus, when he was fasting, about to be launched into ministry, why was he not manipulated by the devil? Because he knew the word. If you know the word, you can't be manipulated. And if you can't be manipulated, you can't be defeated. See, why did King David, before he was even king, why did he say, who's this uncircumcised Philistine coming against and defying God's armies? It wasn't, oh my goodness, like the rest of the Israelites hiding in their tents. He stood up, stood out, said, who is this guy? Who's this punk? Who's he trying to raise himself up? Because he knew the promises of God. He flipped the scale. See, while all the other Israelites were scared, hiding in their tents, he stood out. So I'm going to flip the scale. I know what God has said. I know what God's promises are. I won't be defeated because he's surely on our side. He said I won't be a slave to these Philistines. He said we won't be defeated by these Philistines. But what's changed now? Nothing. In reality, actually, it's gotten better. You know that truth trumps facts, right? I think we heard that a couple months ago. Truth trumps facts. Truth trumps facts. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. What was it when the prophet, he was in the valley and his servant went out and he said, you got to come look. They're all around us. And he just rolled his eyes and said, go back and look again. There's more for us than that are against us. This morning, there's more for you than are against you. Romans 16:20. For the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. If he's soon going to crush Satan under your feet, why would we hold Satan at a higher esteem than God? Isaiah 54:17, we know this one. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. I think those are empowerment verses about us through the Holy Ghost. We'll soon crush Satan under your feet. In even Old Testament, any tongue that arises against you, you shall condemn. See, we're more powerful than we know. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. I think we could also say it like this, and we shall not doubt God. Even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear evil. Even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not doubt God. You know what fear does, right? Fear, it causes rash reactions. Anybody ever reacted out of fear or doubt? Yeah? Somebody just half-masked? Like, I'm not shouting about Jesus, so I'm just going halfway. I don't want everyone to see it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy or devour. What's crazy is fear causes us to not be sober. It causes us to not be vigilant. It causes us to do rash things. It's actually, there's a natural thing called amygdala hijacking. And amygdala is part of your emotions. And when you get scared or emotional, it's wild because naturally the amygdala will pop into your front cortex and take over your decision making, your ability to forecast, your ability to make wise decisions. So when you allow fear to come in, you walk out of soberness and you walk into just pure terror. I don't believe Jesus has called us to live like that at all. And I'm also not scared of a toothless lion. Because the Bible just said roaring. Didn't say biting, didn't say chewing, didn't say destroying, didn't say any of these things. It said roaring, seeking whom he may devour. I'm not going to get gummed to death by a lion who has no power and authority to take my life. We have a toothless lion sitting up here trying to look big when the scale has already been flipped, roaring down at us, trying to get us off what God has placed us on. I'm not scared of a toothless lion who's going to try to gum me to death, because that's the only thing he could do. Fear causes rash reactions. You also know that evil has a name. And that name is not the name that every knee shall bow to. It's not the name that every tongue shall confess. That name is Jesus. And every fear that you're going through, every doubt that you try that is harbored in your heart even this morning, those will also bow to the name of Jesus. They will also confess the name of Jesus. Because at the end of the day, every single knee shall bow. The name of evil shall bow. The name of fear will bow at the name of Jesus. So why would I serve something that's not even a master? You also know that evil has already been shamed. Correct? Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He made the devil look like an idiot publicly. A public spectacle. So when you flip the scale, yeah, we're going to let him go right now. We're going to let him go right now. When you flip the scale, can I tell you what it actually is? Sure, he might be lifted up, but it's just to look dumb. The devil tried to make me look bad. The devil tried to get me ungrounded. Yet in the valley, he tried to attack me, but I stayed firm. I kept going on the path that God set me. And yeah, the only reason he's up here is because he's been made a public spectacle of failure, of defeat, of loss. He has no voice, no right, no authority to do anything in my life. We got to flip the scale. Thank you, guys. You're great. That's why I picked E-Man. I didn't want to even break their ankles or anything jumping down. Thank you, gentlemen. You're the best. We love you. But here's what people do as their mistake, because I don't think anyone going through the valley, look, if God is leading us, I know we start out full of faith, right? Like, man, I don't care what it looks like. God brought me this job. My boss might be a jerk, but it doesn't matter. God's going to get me through it. I'm walking through it. And for some reason, about halfway through the valley, people start to claim their issue as their identity. What they do is they start to get burned down and beat down and destroyed by what they can presently see. And then they claim their issue as their identity. It's not the truth. See, why would we ever claim what the enemy is trying to define you as? Let's really think about this for a second. We know the devil is the father of lies, correct? So if the father of lies is trying to define you as defeated, what does that mean you really are? If the father of lies is trying to say you're a failure, what does that mean you really are? If the father of lies is saying that you're going to lose, what does that mean? You really are. If the father of lies says anything about you, just literally claim the opposite. And I guarantee that's what the word of God has said about you. And if the word of God is true and he cannot lie, then why would we operate any differently? Fear's only victory over a Christian is if you bow to it. Its only victory is if you bow to it. Doubt. Take fear, replace it with doubt. Replace it with evil. Replace it with any daunting thing that you might be going through in life. Three really important truths you need to know. What you're going through does not define you. If you're taking notes, go ahead and write that one down. What you're going through does not define you. What you're going through does not change God's promises to you. What you're going through does not change God's promises about you. What you're going through does not destroy your purpose. I think we have a couple really good Bible examples about these people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? Bow to my golden statue. Bow to this or you'll be burned. I'm not bowing to no statue. What are you kidding me? Why would I bow to this thing? Well, bow to it or we're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. No. We're not scared of you. See, they didn't allow their present circumstance to change who they knew they were. They didn't allow their present circumstance of being thrown into a fiery furnace seven times hotter, which killed the men that threw them in. They did not allow that to change God's promises about them. And they did not allow that to destroy their purpose. So you can roll through the Bible. Peter and the apostles, they said, stop saying the name of Jesus. Said, who are we to obey, man or God? We're not going to stop saying the name of Jesus. Daniel in the lion's den, you got to only pray to the king. He said, no, I'm going to pray to God. He's using a lion as a pillow that night. See, realistically, are we victims or are we victors? Are we punching bags? Or do we have power? See, we got to flip this scale. I don't care how deep we are in the valley. There's something you have to recognize about getting attacked. You know, when you're attacked, it should actually make you happy. Well, that doesn't make sense. That's backwards. It's not backwards. Because when you're attacked, it shows that you have something worth trying to take. I know that thieves are dumb. But even thieves are smart enough not to rob somebody who has nothing to take. If the devil's trying to attack you, please pat yourself on the back, put a big smile on and say, he's trying to take what God has placed inside. Because you have something worth stealing at that rate. That should be exciting. See, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, and I have something that I'm bringing through this valley. And they might be up there staring, they might be up there trying to attack me, but it doesn't matter, because I'm still going to smile, because I have something worth trying to take. And I have literally the one who came back holding the keys of sin and death in his hands. I'm not going to be defeated, because he already has what could have defeated me. He already purchased it back. He bought it back. He said, for you are with me. And Jesus confirmed it even when he was talking to his disciples and said, lo, I am with you even until the end of the age. If he's with me, what do I have to be worried about? See, the only way you can be worried in the valley is if you're the one walking through it without him on your side. Psalm 23 starts off, the Lord is my shepherd. You want to know why we need a shepherd? Me included, all of us in this room, why we need a shepherd. If he's a shepherd, that means we must be sheep, right? Well, it's cool. If you know anything about sheep, which I don't, I know this one thing about sheep, two things. I know they have wool, and I know, well, I like eating lamb, three things. So they have wool, I like eating them, and they have really bad forward eyesight. They can see to their peripherals really well. They can see behind them, but their depth perception is awful. Why we need a shepherd is we're really good at looking what's beside us. We're really good at comparing ourselves to others and how we're presently doing against them. We're really good at looking at the past. But we can't see the future without him. That's why we have to walk by faith and not by sight. That's why walking through a valley isn't scary, because he's right with me. He's directing my steps. He's telling me where to go. He's walking me. What might be scary to the world is comforting to me. It's not scary. It's not that bad. Sure, my boss might be a jerk. Sure, this situation is awful. Sure, this isn't fun. But can I tell you a couple great truths? On the other end of the valley is a destination. And if you're trying to be robbed in the valley, it means you got something worth taking. But he said, you're with me. And if he's with me, he has the only thing in his hands that could ever defeat you. Bought back, paid for, and sealed for eternity. And in that valley, you're untouchable because he is unbeatable. See, I think we got to stop getting hit and start hitting. I'm sick of Christians being punching bags and just taking shots and taking shots and taking shots. If you're just taking shots, we need to recognize that you're full of force and power brought in by the Holy Ghost. You don't have to take shots. If the devil is trying to hit you, I want to encourage you to make him look like the dork he is. Make him up on that high spot, a public spectacle, saying, yeah, you might attack me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go win 5 souls at this job. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go lay hands on the sick and see him recover. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for not letting me be a victim, but a victor. Thank you for putting me on the offensive. Thank you that I am not defeated, but I have victory through you. It's about our perspective, and we need to flip the scale. When he's throwing punches, it would be like John fighting E-Man. That's a one-hit quit. You're done. Love you, E-Man, but it's just not going to end good. But for some reason, we think that Goliath is defeating us, beating us up, beating us down. It's not about your stature, it's about your nature. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. The next part of this scripture out of Psalm 23 says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Two different things. What were they for? One was for protection, the other one was for correction. And we don't really like being told what to do, especially as adults. But if the Lord is going to correct you, it's to protect you. Shepherds, they lead, they feed, and they protect. And if we're going to submit to that, we got to understand his correction is also his protection. That's a different topic, different day. Let me read a really great verse for you, though, out of Joshua. It's Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, if you want to ever flip the scale in your life, flip the perspective in your life, you got to understand the Word of God. You got to meditate it on it day and night. You can't just have it in your heart. It needs to be in your mouth and in your actions as well. Another different message for a different day. So what do I really have for you? Psalm 23, verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. See, this morning, if you really desire to have this protection and correction, you really desire to make it through the valley, you can't do it on your own. You have to do it with a shepherd. The true shepherd, the good shepherd, the one that loves us, that literally bought us, that paid for us, for redemption. See, if you truly desire to make it through all these things, and I know people are going through situations, it's reality. Things are going to try to destroy you. The enemy's going to try to manipulate your perspective through situations that he'll throw at you. But if you ever want to make it through, you got to have him as your shepherd. So you got to give your life to Jesus. And there's a big difference between Jesus, my Savior, and Jesus, my Lord. A lot of people like the idea of going to heaven, but they don't like the idea of truly serving Jesus and what he's commanded us to do. In the good times, the bad times, the unsure times, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what people are saying, no matter what, saying, if you're my shepherd, your promises are right there. You're going to let me lay down in green pastures. You're going to lead me to still waters. You're going to bring me through the valley, not kill me in it. We got to have that shepherd. This morning, if that's you and you're saying, you know what, I don't serve Jesus, I don't have him as my Savior. And you know what? Maybe you used to. Maybe you used to serve him wholeheartedly. And something happened. You walked away. I'll probably put a bet on it that somewhere in that valley you sat down instead of continuing to walk through it. You let fear and doubt creep up faster and harder than the reality of Jesus. That's you this morning with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, and you say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to return to Jesus. I want to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't want him just as my Savior, but I want him as my Lord. If that's you this morning, you ready to give your life to Jesus, let me see you shoot your hand into the air quickly and boldly. All over this place. Come on. If that's you. Amen. Before I let you guys go, I want to also encourage you. Don't look side to side. Don't look back. Look forward to what Jesus has called you to. Because if you look forward to what Jesus has called you to, you're going to have supernatural breakthrough. It says you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Can I tell you, if you continue to follow Jesus as your shepherd, you'll eat in front of your enemies. Sure, the boss, the ex-wife, the spouse, the whatever it is, you'll be able to eat in front of your enemies. The next one is this: you anoint my head with oil, which means you give me favor. You'll have favor in front of your enemies. And my cup runs over. You'll have more than enough. This morning, Christians, really, for you, because I know a lot of people, they get in the valley and they get discouraged and they quit. I want to encourage you this morning, don't look back, don't look side to side, keep walking where Jesus has called you. That fog is just a cup of water. That scale is out of order, because that's not how the weight really is. I'm going to challenge you this morning as everyone stands to their feet before we leave. I want to challenge you this morning. If you're saying, doubt is present in my life, fear is present in my life, I feel like I'm going to give up, I feel like I'm in the valley and I could quit. You're saying this morning, I want to eat in front of my enemies. I want favor in front of my enemies. Not only those things, but I want more than enough as I walk through this to my destination. If that's you this morning, I want you to boldly and quickly make your way out of your seat. We're going to have the prayer team, the pastoral team lay hands on you, because I believe you need the power of God in your life, because you're not a punching bag. In fact, you're full of power and authority. If that's you this morning, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and make your way right up front. If you gave your life to Jesus by raising your hand, I want you to come up over on this side. My wife Mindy wants to pray with you. We'll give you a Bible. If you didn't raise your hand, but you know that was you and you needed it, I want you to find her right up here. On my left, your right. It's the prettiest girl in the front. But if that's you, you're saying, I gave my life to Jesus, or I need freedom. And here's one of the things I hate about church. A lot of people are like, well, I look like my life's together. What if they see me going up there and they know that I'm not perfect? Can I tell you, you can go home with your issues, or you can come to an altar and be changed. Doesn't matter what it looks like to other people. It matters what you and Jesus need. If that's you this morning, I want you to get out of your seat in the count of three. You ready? You didn't say nothing. You ready? One, two, from the back to the front. It's opened up for you. Three, go ahead. Come on. Right out of your seat. Not looking around, not playing games. Amen. Coming from the back, coming from all over. Thank you, Jesus. The pastoral team, can you guys come up here? We want you to lay hands on whoever needs it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, it's still for you. You might not have moved immediately, but you can still move now. Amen. I'm going to let Pastor pray for everyone else and release them. Thank you, guys.
Hallelujah. Great word. Amen. Well, that's chewable. You're going to want to make sure that you get that on DVD. You can do that, or you can get right on our archives. You need to listen one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare blessing over this house in Christ's name. We declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We declare that God will come to the other side, and we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. We refuse, oh God, to give up. We refuse, oh God, to sit down. We are moving forward with the shepherd, and we will give you all the glory for our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted this morning. That wasn't a shout. I said everybody shouted this morning. If you're a guest, we'd like to meet you. We have a guest reception right on the other side of this wall. We'd love to meet you. Shake your hand, let you know we love you. See you in just a little bit.
Good.